Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Now, Germany, France and Italy have become the latest European countries to suspend the rollout of the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine over a small number of blood clot concerns, ignoring the advice of international medical agencies. Naomi O'Leary, Irish Times Europe correspondent, is on the line. And in a moment, I'll be speaking to the woman who made the decision in Norway, Sarah Wattela, senior physician from the Norwegian Institute of Public Health. We're also joined by Professor Luke O'Neill at the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College, and Dr. Mary Favier, COVID-19 advisor to the Irish College of General Practitioners. But first, we're going to hear from the Director General of the World Health Organization speaking at a briefing this afternoon.
As countries roll out COVID-19 vaccines, WHO is continuing to keep a close eye on their safety. WHO is aware that some countries have suspended the use of AstraZeneca vaccines based on reports of blood clots in some people who received doses of the vaccine from two batches. This measure was taken as a precaution while a full investigation is finalized. It's important to note that the European Medicines Agency has said there is no indication of a link between the vaccine and blood clots, and that the vaccine can continue to be used while its investigation is ongoing. WHO's Global Advisory Committee on Vaccine Safety systematically reviews safety signals and is carefully assessing the current reports on the AstraZeneca vaccine. As soon as WHO has gained a full understanding of these events, the findings and any change to our current recommendations will be communicated immediately to the public.
And that was Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus of the WHO there speaking earlier this afternoon. Naomi O'Leary, we'll come to yourself first, because last week Denmark, Norway and Iceland said that they would halt the introduction of the vaccine. Then over the weekend, as we all know, Ireland and the Netherlands announced a pause. And then this afternoon, three more EU countries doing the same. We might start with Germany. How have the Germans explained this decision?
They've said that it's a precautionary measure. It's being paused while these incidents, reports of blood clots are being investigated. And what we've just heard from the European Medicines Agency is that the number of blood clots that have been reported is what you would expect for the number, a very large number of people who are receiving the vaccination. So there don't seem to be more blood clot incidents than you would expect. And they say it's safe to continue to use the vaccine while this is being investigated. We're expecting them to meet to discuss it tomorrow and then make a statement about it on Thursday. What the German regulator has said, though, is that the reason why they're investigating this is because there was a number of these blood clot incidents all at once, a kind of cluster of them. And that's what sort of has triggered the safety alert and prompted them to, as a precaution, suspend vaccination for now while it's investigated.
OK, and then in France, President Macron made the announcement about what's happening there. What is happening there?
A number of different European countries, including France, now have paused the rollout. We'll see what the European Medicines Agency concludes. At the moment, they say that on balance, you know, the greater risk is of catching COVID-19. So on balance, the benefit of taking the vaccine outweighs any possible risks, according to the data that's available at the moment. Even though the European Medicines Agency has said that, a number of national regulators have made a different decision, just saying that they're going to, for now, pause the rollout and pending more information.
And is that the same with Italy then? Because I know there's extra information coming out in Italy because prosecutors in Piedmont there have seized a large batch of AstraZeneca after an unexplained death yesterday.
Yeah, a musician or a music teacher died after receiving the vaccine. There's no evidence that those two things were correlated, because people do die all the time, and some people just happen to die when they get the vaccine. So many people getting it does mean that you will have people who are sick and people who would have died anyway getting it. So there was a case with a music teacher who doesn't seem to have been ill, and he was fairly young, and he happened to die after getting the vaccine, and prosecutors themselves have said there is no, they don't have any indication at the moment that there's any link between those two things. But while that is being investigated and in the absence of information, they managed to get a ruling to seize some supplies of AstraZeneca in Piedmont to stop the rollout.
Meanwhile, then, there is another pause announced by the Netherlands. This came yesterday. What's happening there?
So in the Netherlands, the GPs had been due to give AstraZeneca to people aged in their, I think it's 50s and 60s. And again, they've given these reports of blood clots. They've made the decision to pause that for now, just to kind of take a break on it. It's similar to Ireland, pending more information. Meanwhile, the rollout of Pfizer vaccines and Moderna vaccines and so on continue. It's just the AstraZeneca that are affected. And in several countries, it's just a particular batch of AstraZeneca. So in some cases, it's not the AstraZeneca vaccine outright, but just some particular batch as well that's being investigated. All of the countries are saying this is just as a precautionary principle, as an excess of safety, they're going to do this just until the full facts have been investigated and collected.
We've been hearing more from Denmark as well. That suspended the use of the vaccine last week, one of the first countries to do so. But we've been hearing about a Danish woman who died after receiving the AstraZeneca vaccine.
Yeah, it's another case where, you know, part of the way that conditional marketing authorization works, which is what AstraZeneca and the other COVID vaccines have, is that the authorization for the vaccine is given on the condition that data is collected as it's rolled out. And data is collected on if anyone experiences a sore arm or feels a bit unwell, or if there's any indication of any side effect. All those reports are fed back in then to the European Medicines Agency, which scrutinizes them, and then, you know, on it can revoke the permission at any time if there's any indication that there's a problem with it. So it's normal that you would be collecting all of this data and you'd be collecting these instances. And because it's being given out to so many people, you would expect to have these kind of events. You would expect to have people, a certain amount of people who die or who become ill. And the investigation that's going on now is to identify whether there is any link potentially between the vaccine and those things. At the moment, what the European Medicines Agency says is there is no indication that that it caused it, that there's any causal relationship there.
All right. Naomi O'Leary, Europe correspondent for the Irish Times, thank you very much for joining us with that. I'll move on to yourself, Sarah Wattala. You made this decision in Norway to suspend the vaccine. Can you tell us why you made that decision?
Yeah, it was, as was actually mentioned also, that it was a precautionary measure based on the concerns regarding the report from Denmark, as well as some other European countries with similar cases. And then, as you've heard, we have had now four cases in our country in a very short time, where all of these four cases had been vaccinated with AstraZeneca vaccine shortly before they had these very severe symptoms.
And can you tell us what you mean by very severe symptoms and in what period of time did it happen?
Yeah, the four cases have all occurred in patients under 50 years of age, previously healthy. And the patients have a rare combination of symptoms with blood clots, hemorrhages and low platelet counts. And they have had their symptoms within the spectrum from 3 to 10 days after receiving the dose.
There was one fatality, is that correct?
There are actually two.
And is that among the young people that you're talking about, those four cases?
Yes.
And do we know, was it after one or two doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine that happened? Had they been fully inoculated?
Yeah, in Norway we have only given the first dose up until now. So this was the first dose for all patients.
How many people in total have received the AstraZeneca vaccine in Norway?
We have vaccinated around 130,000 people with this vaccine, with one dose.
And
most of those people report common side effects after vaccination, so pain in the arm and fatigue, fever, etc.
And I don't know, do you know or do you have the figures to hand there as to how that figure for, you know, very unusual, I suppose, as you've outlined it, but blood clots nonetheless in that number of people, how that would tally with what might happen in the general population? Is it different?
Well, these cases are very special, and they are, as you say, very rare. And in this age group, these kinds of incidents are rare in the general population as well. So that's why we wanted to have this pause in order to investigate these cases further. Mm-hmm. Since they all happened within 1 to 2 weeks.
I don't know if you heard, but we played a clip a little earlier from the WHO Director General saying that there is no evidence that these incidents are not these specific to Norway, but the various incidents that have been reported, that they are caused by the vaccine.
Yeah, and that's a very important point, I think, because we have not concluded either if there is a causal relationship or not. So we need to do some more investigations in order to come to a conclusion regarding these cases.
And have there been any other effects that you've noticed out of the ordinary, Sarah, apart from those four incidents?
No, these are the four special cases. And besides that, it's a common side effect that's common from other vaccines as well.
And just out of interest, and we'll be looking into this a little later as well, have there been any reports from any other vaccines? Is it just AstraZeneca that seems to have reports of people who've had AstraZeneca then reporting blood clots? Or have we seen anything similar, or have you seen anything similar with Pfizer or Moderna?
We have seen reports of blood clots from after the BioNTech-Pfizer vaccine. We haven't really vaccinated that many people yet with the Moderna vaccine, so it's not unsuspected that we don't have that many reports. But those cases are more common, if I may call it that, blood clots, like a deep vein thrombosis and lung embolism. The cases I'm talking about are quite different. They are very special in their nature.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us to talk us through it. That's Sarah Wattela, who made that decision to suspend the vaccine in Norway. Well, we're joined now by Professor Luke O'Neill and also by Dr. Mary Favier, COVID-19 advisor to the ICGP. And I'll start with yourself, Luke O'Neill, because I might actually start with what we heard there from Norway and the incidents, those four people. And I know it's four out of, I think she said, 120,000 or in around that have got the AstraZeneca dose. But still, Sarah is saying that those four cases were very particular, unusual cases of blood clots, and they were concerned enough on that basis to halt the vaccine. What do you make of it?
Well, she also said there was no evidence that the vaccine was causing them, didn't she, if I heard her correctly, Sarah, to be honest? And that's what the science is telling us. There is no evidence at the moment that this vaccine is increasing the risk of clotting, right? And the MHRA, as is that in the UK, very clearly, and they're the key regulator in a way, because they were first to approve it. And then AstraZeneca themselves, now, of course, you read what a company says versus the regulator in a different way, maybe. But the fact is, 17 million people have had this vaccine now, and there's no evidence that it's a causal link to clotting. Now, that might change, of course, and now we're waiting for more data, I guess. But the small number of people having clots would suggest that the vaccine is not causing them, you know. The key moment now, sir, is the EMA will have to make a very clear statement, because all over Europe, countries are suspending, as we've seen, you know. What's the job of the EMA? It's to coordinate the European effort in any situation. So we're all waiting to see what the EMA would eventually say. At the moment, they're saying keep using the vaccine.
Mm, and so too is the WHO, or at least the WHO is saying there's no evidence that they're linked at this point. Do you think it was the right decision for the authorities here and authorities elsewhere, but we're most interested in what's going on here, to make that decision to pause the vaccine or the rollout of AstraZeneca?
I think it's premature, because we need the evidence to suggest there is a link, and it's just not there. And remember, 30,000 people this week will now not be vaccinated. The risk from this virus for causing clotting is massive, you know. We know this is a virus that causes huge clots in people that can become very, very severe. That's a scientific fact. We don't know the vaccine is causing clotting, and yet we've erred here massively on the side of caution, just in case this vaccine might cause clots, and there isn't any evidence for that.
You know, I saw an analogy on social media earlier that it's somewhat like if you put a piece of toast in the toaster and walk away and you see smoke coming from the room, you could assume that it's just the toast has got a bit burnt, or you could take a moment and go in and check and pause everything else that you're doing. Is that not what we're doing, though, now, by pausing
we
and
are,
going
yeah.
in to check? Is that not a prudent thing to do?
Well, I don't think, not because the risk to the people who aren't vaccinated is high, you see. It's a balance of risks, as ever, with these things, you know. And the risk is there of people getting infected with this virus and having a very difficult, especially vulnerable people. There, we're trying to vaccinate the vulnerable here, remember. They're at high risk of severe disease, you see. So you're balancing that risk against it. Now, it's also good, having said that, that they're reporting this. We want these reports because it is emergency use. It's good that these have been spotted. You know, that's part of the process, you see. But to knee-jerk react in a way when the science isn't there to support this, that's what I have an issue with.
I have a new EMA statement in here in just the last couple of minutes. It says that the European Medicines Agency has said its safety committee will review all the information tomorrow on the AstraZeneca vaccine and will hold an extraordinary meeting on Thursday to conclude the issues. It's in effect saying that this decision that we're going to get on AstraZeneca will come on Thursday. So the sooner the better, I suppose,
that's
Luke,
great.
On that.
Yeah.
Can I ask you what you think about Italy then? And again, you know, we're hearing that a person, a relatively young man, got the vaccine, got a temperature that night and died the next day. And again, we don't know if it's because he got the vaccine or was that destined to happen to him anyway. But I don't know if you heard Naomi O'Leary earlier, but going across the various different European countries, there does seem to be a lot of potentially adverse reactions. Now, you know, that's what people might be thinking. Why shouldn't they think that, or why shouldn't they be worried about that?
Well, it's not a scientific response, it's an emotional response. There's a tragedy, of course, when somebody dies, like, it's terrible. And then you get this kind of emotional thing, oh, look, we better do something, this kind of thing. It's a complicated thing statistically to look for adverse events versus efficacy. The trials do it initially, and now it's out in the general public, you know. And one or two incidents here and there that isn't above, say, the normal level of these things tells you that the vaccine isn't causing it, you know. So I think if a death happens, as I say, it's a tragedy, but that doesn't mean the vaccine caused that death, you see. You need more numbers. You need more statistics to confirm that link, you see, is the key thing.
All right. Dr. Mary Favier is also on the line. Do you agree with what Luke O'Neill is saying here, that this is a little premature, Mary, or do you think NIAC has made the right decision to temporarily suspend the use of the vaccine?
I think general practitioners would support the actions of NIAC because they're being cautious. It's a pause. It's not being stopped or cancelled. We're waiting. We're just gathering more information. And I think one of the most important things in medicine is that we're careful. We are always ensure safety and we hasten slowly. And that's what's happening here. And these were exceptionally rare circumstances. I would not expect to see one of these cases in my professional lifetime. However, there were three, four of them clustered together. And I think that's reasonable to say these were in young, otherwise healthy patients. What could have happened here? We need to look further. And I think for the majority of people listening, saying we need to have confidence in our vaccine program. While the risks of COVID are very real, and indeed there's a substantial risk of blood clotting, we need to at all times, the vaccines are for the long term. We need to know that not only do they work, but they're safe to administer. Mm. And we may get to Friday after the EMA rule and say, well, that was a lot of fuss about nothing. That was a storm. We weathered it. We'll keep going. And that's the appropriate thing to do. It's safe. We'll hasten slowly. We could return to this by the end of the week.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I suppose, because this decision has been made by our health authorities here and elsewhere in the EU, and we're here discussing it now and looking in detail at all these cases across the European Union, even though they are very small in numbers by comparison to, as Luke O'Neill says, the 17 million people who have got the vaccine, all the focus is on the small number of adverse reactions, however serious those numbers may be. From a communications perspective, has a lot of damage been done come Friday if as you say, the EMA turns around and says this was all a fuss about nothing and it's actually fine? Can people be convinced to return to the AstraZeneca vaccine after all this?
I think so. I think they're more likely to be concerned if this information wasn't made public, if it wasn't critically examined, if NIAC said, no, it's not for us to decide. I think people are much more happy to say that we're honest, we're open, it's truthful, we can change our mind, we'll do it differently if the evidence changes. And it is really hard for those 30,000 people who were due to get appointments this week, next week. And I have a patient myself who was scheduled for Tuesday. She was so delighted to get that appointment. And here she is now cancelled.
And is she at more risk, Mary, I wonder, do you think? Is she being put at more risk by this delay than she would be if she got the vaccine?
Potentially, but it's only a couple of days. And it's much more important for the larger vaccine program, because this is about prevention rather than treatment of disease, that we have this confidence. And her response was, if it means I get it next week instead, yes, I will still get it. And we would expect that if it goes ahead, we will continue to recommend AstraZeneca. It's indeed, as Luke has said, it's been very safe in the 50 million shots that have been given, huge numbers. But we need to do this carefully, and a few days won't make any difference in the long term. Right. And I think the public would be much more reassured with that.
We have to leave it there, but thank you both very much for joining us. That's Dr. Mary Favor and Professor Luke O'Neill. You can let us know what you think at 251551.